Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome to another episode of Tuning In with Tony. This is brought to you by, of course, Higher Self, where we do readings, personal tunings, sound therapy, that kind of thing. We do workshops and classes of feng shui, tuning forks, angel readings, everything else that goes with the energy climate. We're here to basically raise your spirits. We're trying to get so many things and techniques done for you, and we want to cover so much. Is that when something isn't working, then you can go to something else. And we give you a lot of different ways to do the same thing. Sometimes one particular technique doesn't work. So spirit always looking at giving you different ideas. Today's color is white. So if you've got white crystal or a white t-shirt, even if you're sitting on a white couch, another crystal that is very good is azestalite, is very good, or clear quartz. Diamonds are good. Yeah, clear quartz is good, especially one that is like that, like a wand and that kind of thing. So that's very powerful. The theme today basically is still goes on the tail end of the eclipse. Part of the eclipse, if you recall, in the last segment, we talked about the eclipse and how this is sort of a closing of something rather than being in spring where things are opening up, buds are opening. Birds are singing, the leaves are starting to come back, and all the signs of a new beginning. But for humans and the evolution of that, it's a complete opposite. It's something's closing, something's wanting to come out of your life. We're going to be talking about some of those things, and we're still seeing, we as in spirit, they're still seeing various challenges that our people don't want to let stuff go. They're just still holding on to it. And we're going to explain a little bit of why that is happening. All right. So the thing about it is a little bit about nostalgia, isn't it? You know, it's always something about the past. People never get nervous of the future, ever. There's never any uncertainty about the future, because what happens when you talk about the future, it has something to do with what had happened. Well, this happened a number of years ago, so I'm afraid it'll happen again. A bad relationship I had 10 years ago was very abusive, and I don't want to go back to that. So we're equating our past that it might happen in the future. So this is all about letting the past go. It's always about something that has happened, something that has made an impression on you, something that made you to the point where you want to do things. But let's talk a little bit and touch on nostalgia. What's a really good thing about nostalgia is a lot of people like family pictures. I mean, when you see your kids when they were so young, they were in their toddler years. We were looking at some of these pictures and we have a smile on our face, you know, and oh my God, I can't believe they were so young and I was so young and we were always going out. We were always doing things, high school pictures, and you look at all kinds of things about family. I mean, even the friends that you were with would be still considered family, because when you got together, you were like family. Everybody knew each other and you're all going through the same thing in terms of the schoolwork, teachers, and everything else. So you had something in common. But when you look at some of these pictures in that a nostalgic way, you have a smile on your face. Another one is any awards that you've ever received. You might have gotten an award for something, or even if it's something small, like you got first place in a spelling bee. Or you got something given to you. One of the things that I really like is I have this old trophy for fishing. It was a fishing derby that happened like many decades ago. I was just barely in my teens. And we went fishing all day. We had a riot. It was just so much fun. And the people came over to our hole because we're in Canada and the lake freezes over. So it was a winter fishing derby. We're able to walk on the ice. The Canadians can walk on water, by the way. I don't know if you ever knew that. But it was so cool because you're fishing there. You got your hole you're looking at and people come over and they have conversations. You know, what kind of thing are you fishing with? And it was such a great memory. And at the end of that derby, I won a little trophy. It didn't really mean much. however, as far as the value. But whenever I look at it, I think of that day. I think of how fun it was with my dad and how young he was and my mom and how she was then. And it always brings a smile to my face. So even though it doesn't have a lot of value, sentimentally, is very pleasant. I have another thing that I mentioned in another class, and it's a puzzle piece. It's so special to me. I have it on my altar. I have a little place where I put various things, and it's only special things that go on this. When I light a candle, it's for a certain light, and it is there. And it's a puzzle piece. And what this significance is that one time I was doing a puzzle. It was about a 1,000-piece puzzle, and I was already finished all the leaves, so it was multicolored ones. And now I was working on the sky, which is mostly blue and then mostly green. But I had this one mixed color, and it still looks like I was in the leaves. I says, okay, there's a piece missing. So I don't know where this goes. So there's got to be a place missing. And so throughout the whole puzzle, this one piece kept coming up, and I said, I have no place for it. It should go in this area, but it seems like, oh, maybe I've got it mixed up because all the leaves are very multicolored and maybe I put the wrong piece in the wrong place. So all these things go in your mind. By the time that it was all done, the whole puzzle was complete. Everything was completely finished. But I had this one extra piece. And I always wondered, what was the significance of that? Because we know that in your life, you're always wanting more than whatever the minimum is. The minimum is you just want to finish this puzzle. But your energy, you always expect more. And so that's why we gifted that piece to you. So that means a lot to me, that little puzzle piece, because it's a signification for me that it is okay to want a little more. Not that I'm being greedy. It's just that why just settle for the minimum in life? Why don't we settle for a little bit more? That is okay. But there's other things in our life that perhaps we are holding on to that doesn't have the same energy level. Let's talk about clothes. I could go into my closet, and I guess many of us can go into our closet and look at the various clothes that we have there. You know, the 1979 t-shirt that has beer stains on it or whatever, we still have it. And it's torn in one side, but when we wear it, it's comfortable or it gives us something. But we don't always have the right feeling about it. I mean, not something you'd wear all the time. It has to be something maybe you're going to work on your car or something like that. And there's some clothes perhaps you might have in your closet that really doesn't give you a good feeling. Perhaps it doesn't fit. Perhaps it's the wrong color, or perhaps there's some writing on it that you don't like, or whatever the reason is, you don't like it and you hardly wear it. And one of the things about feng shui is that we get rid of a lot of the things that have no emotional attachment to us. It's just part of the exercise. But ones that don't really do those things, what do they do? Another thing is furniture. Old furniture that probably means nothing to you. You know, your Aunt Mabel gave it to you before she passed away, and it's the ugliest thing, but you have it in your house. Or something, another piece of furniture or some other memento was given to you, and it doesn't mean anything. Just one of those things that you want to keep things that have some significance to you. So why do we keep these pieces of furniture that doesn't mean much, right? And so when we look at that exercise of what it is that we're holding on to, that's what we need to revisit here. Because when you look at it, what do you feel? If you feel good, then you could kind of hang on to it. Those kind of things are okay for now to hang on to. In time, you'll get through those as well. But one of the things to keep in mind is the ones that you have no emotional attachment at all. I was at one motorcycle rally there a couple of years ago, and somebody had given me a t-shirt just as a memento because they wanted all the bikers to get something, so they're taking home something. So they gave me a t-shirt, and I looked at it. It says, "From the Wrong Direction Club." Really? And so that gave me a sign on one thing, but I would never wear that shirt. So since then, I've re-gifted to someone else that needs a shirt, but it's always good that way to keep things moving. But that's the thing. Now, there's another thing that I've been holding on to for a while. And those of you that know that I had a little dog, King Charles Spaniel, little thing. His name was Noogie. He was with us for 13 years before one morning he wasn't feeling very good. He was breathing heavy and he was going through some challenges just walking. So I booked off the day and my wife as well, and we went to a vet just to find out what was going on. And apparently there was some fluid in his lungs, and there was some infection in his brain and a whole bunch of stuff. He says, well, we could keep him comfortable for the next couple of weeks, but, you know, there is an expiry date and he is going through pain. We can give you meds that will curb the pain, or you can put him down today. So we had a choice. Oh, wow. It's just like, that's a hard decision to make for any pet owner. And I don't wish that on anybody. But because we love the dog so much, we decided that we were going to put him down, not to have him just for us, because we wanted him here. He's obviously made the choice to transition, and we didn't want to be in the way. So we decided, okay, we're going to put him down. So the vet left the room, and he says, okay, do your goodbyes or whatever you have to do. And so in those few minutes, we took a picture of Noogie, you know, because he was such a cute little guy. And a picture of me and my wife, and just the different poses of him in his last moments, right? Then I left the room, and then that was it. And I still have those pictures. And when I look at them, I had a chance to go through some of my 1,000-plus pictures because I had a new phone, and I had to go through some pictures to weed some of them out. And I came upon these pictures of Noogie, and it brought me sadness. I says, oh, what a cute little guy. And I realized, okay, yeah, this isn't the most optimal for my energy to be sad looking at a picture, but I'm not yet ready at this point to let him go. And Spirit says, that's fine. Okay, when you're ready, just realize that he's not going anywhere. You already know that he's beside you. He's with you all the time. And we have an amazing dog now, Stella. She's just a ball of energy. Love her to death. She's just such a kind dog. So this will take a little bit of time for me. So it, just so you know, if it takes more time to get something to let go, it's okay. It's not a pressure that you got to get rid of this. And, you know, it's going to be going when you're ready. So even at my level, where I can connect to animals on the other side, you know, there's still a human part of me that just feels for things, right? I love animals. And that's just one of the things about it. But when we start connecting to anything, whether it's animals, whether you want to connect to your home, whether you want to connect to clothes or anything that has energy, and everything has energy, has an intelligence. It has a state that if you connect to it a certain way, it will tell you what to do with that. For example, I can connect to some of my t-shirts I have in my closet, and some I'd never wear anymore because it's old and it doesn't give the right impression anymore. It's got tears in it, but I still hang on to it. You know, when I work outside or when I'm mowing the lawn or something, it's good just to throw the t-shirt on. But the t-shirt's always telling me that my work with you is done. You can gift me to a person that doesn't have a shirt or is not very well to do and they don't have very many shirts. I'm ready to transition. Because some of the shirts are actually in pretty good shape. I wouldn't gift one that are full of holes, but there's a few shirts that are in very good shape that I wouldn't wear. So they are telling me this, that it's okay because we're ready to transition to the new person to give some things moving. But you can do the same thing with furniture. If you have a piece of furniture that has no limits for you in terms of, I don't need it anymore, I've got a house full of furniture, the last thing I need is more furniture, I want to get rid of this. But there's somebody that is in an empty home or near empty that would love to get a chair or a sofa or something. And again, that sofa is saying, you know, I'm done with you. You know, I've got you to this point and you can keep me moving to someone else where I could make them happy, because looking at me, you're not happy. And I says, yes, that's true. I don't have to be excited, but you're right. It's not the same emotion when I first got you. So keep me moving. But the same thing goes with a house. And this is one of the things that realtors experience when people have to sell their home because, let's say, they've overextended or many other reasons, divorce or death or whatever, many other reasons why they have to sell their home. Like right now, we just have to sell this and then move on sort of thing. And the house, with its intelligence, they don't know where you're going. They're kind of worried about you. So the house will decide not to move to the next stage. They won't go to the next stage. So what is it about that will be able to be okay? Well, a lot of realtors think it's the price that's too high. That's why it's not selling. But you'll also always remember that when you have little signs that the house doesn't want to sell, the first things you're going to get is people are looking for the house for the showing and they get lost. They can't find your number, even though your numbers are 3 feet high. It's right in front of the door and they miss it. That's the first sign. Then there's other signs that when they come in, they trip in the front door to trip in the house. The house does that, okay? They're tripping up or down the stairs, or they'll come in and people won't get the first impression because the home is trying to hold the family that is presently owning the home, so it doesn't. So in other words, sometimes we can't let things go. It's holding on to us. Now, that's a concept that people haven't heard before. It's always, I got to let this go. I got to let this go. I got to release this. And what is it about the other side? Because, you know, I don't know if you could see this, but if you have, let's say, a way that you hold on to your arm, you know, your left is holding on to your forearm and your other right, you're holding itself. You could let yourself go on one end, but it is still holding on to you. And so find out, once you've had a few of my classes and once you have this awareness that you can connect and communicate with energy, you can say, what's going on? How come you're not letting me go? I've let you go. And then you'll find out what the deal is. Any number of things come up with that. But that's always what it is. It's always has something to do with that energy holding you back. You know, another thing about holding yourself back and not going the full 9 yards like you'd want, I heard a story a while back, and it was like this. A lady wanted to go home on a shortcut. She was hurried to get home for whatever reason, and so she had to cut through a graveyard to do it. She would have saved about 15 minutes worth of walking all the way around this graveyard, so she figured at night she was just going to cut through. It was pretty well lit, but, you know, it's a graveyard, right? And so she's cutting through and she's almost through it, and a spirit approaches her. Now, I don't think this did actually happen, but in any case, the story goes, a spirit slowed her down and started talking to her. And it said that, I will give you the words that you've given yourself in your words and in your voice. So the next few minutes, the spirit was talking in her voice and in her words all the things she had told herself about how she is, who she is, what she is over the last several years. And it's stuff like, it's all your fault, was one of them. I can't do this. That's what the lady kept saying to herself. So she got it repeated to herself. I can't do this. I hate the way I look. How many people talk like that to themselves, like that? I'm so stupid. I will never forgive them for what they did to me. I hate being poor. I'm not smart enough to get a degree. Who would love someone like me? The way I am, I can't fathom that anything or anyone would love me. Why do I always get turned down for a promotion at work? I hate my job. I can't do anything right. And it kept going for quite some time. And finally, the lady starts listening to all her own words that she's told herself, only to finally realize that all of her misery over the past several years was something she did to herself. She created her own misery because spirit is listening. And this was all recording. Nothing that was said was something that another spirit made up. It was her own words and her own voice. Then she has the realization that she's had all of these misery that she's been through all these years, all the torment was from her, was some things that she did to herself. So then she leaves the graveyard with a higher vibration, figuring that I'm going to forgive myself and forgive everybody else that I made fault with. I blamed everybody for my misfortune. Everything that my parents did to me, it was my reaction to say it wasn't their fault. They did whatever they did, but I carried it for the next 20, 30 years. And that's something I could have gone through. Any case, she came out of there and she realized that most of her things was self-induced. So no more blame. She ends up finding the real truth in things just by that technique or that thought. But, you know, there are ways that we're going to show you a very quick, easy way to start to release something. I've mentioned this in another segment, but I think it's worth repeating because it is so effective. So what you do is if you have a number of things that you really don't want in your life or really want to change in your life, you don't like being in the finances that you're in, or you don't like the way your body looks or your health isn't quite right, and even though you've tried to either lose weight, eat better, have exercise, nothing seems to work, then maybe we need to look at something other than what you're doing to your body in terms of trying to eat better. Maybe it's what's eating you that's the issue. So there's something inside that your body is holding on to that weight, or you're holding on to the trauma, or you're holding on to something that you're having some challenges releasing. And so here's one technique that you could try. And what you do is you get a piece of paper and a pen, and you start writing down everything that you can think of. And this is where you got to be honest. Everything that you can think of you're angry about, or you give blame to, or if there's something that is really not to your liking, you write it all down. You put down all your disappointments. I'm disappointed that I should be further than I am in life. I'll just give you a few examples. I'm disappointed that this is happening. I'm disappointed that I'm still in an apartment and I should be in a house. Whatever it is, just get everything down. Write it all down. And when you think you're done, this might be 2, 3, 5, 10 pages. I've seen some pages 8 pages long. So don't worry about the length. It doesn't matter about the length. In fact, the longer the better, because you want to get everything out of your system through your hand, your writing hand, because that's your outward energy, and get it on paper so that that energy is no longer in your system. It's on that piece of paper. When you think you're done, then I want you to visualize a towel. You know, when the towel is damp and you've got most of the water out, then what you do is you twist the towel just so every drop comes out. So that means I want you to look even deeper to find out anything else that you might be fearful of. I'm fearing that if I make it in my business, I won't know how to handle it. I'm fearing that I'm going to fail, or whatever it is with your body, with your finances, with your life, or anything. Just write it all down and make sure that all of the things that really bother you are on paper. Then get yourself a crystal bowl. Now, the reason it's crystal is because there's that clarity that is in there. It's part of that white light system. Yeah, crystal is the best, but whatever you would have would be okay. Brass if you have it, but crystal is the best. Ashtrays are wonderful because I have a crystal ashtray. Actually, guys, I have a double thing. This is something that they used to use when people were smoking, but I've kept it because I've used it for feng shui purposes. You basically take this crystal bowl or ashtray or whatever it is, and you go outside and you want to burn all the papers that you have. So have little pieces of wood in the bowl and just start lighting it and just start feeding the fire with all of this. You want to make sure everything is burned. There are some pieces of paper that won't burn right away because those are that energy that wants to stay resilient in your system. Okay, so you want to put little pieces of dry wood so the fire sort of keeps going and all of it turns to ashes. Make sure you don't do this indoors for obvious reasons, not only because it's going to make a little bit of smoke, but it's because of the smoke that trauma and that stuff that you wrote down will go into the air in smoke. And if that's in your house, now you have a new problem. Okay? You want to make sure that that energy is outside. If you have a sunroom, open up the window. Let's say it's raining. Okay, you can't have it outside because the rain will snuff it out or something. Have it in a sunroom that's not part of the house, that you can open up the windows or just make sure that the smoke goes out and make sure everything is burned. And as it burns, you just feel all this burning in your body so it doesn't come back. That's one technique, all right? Sometimes this could take about a half an hour for it all to burn. Sometimes it's very fast. It'll just go woof and it's done. It all depends on how heavy the energy is. The heavier the energy, the longer it'll take to burn, okay? So that's usually the rule of thumb there. That's the idea. All right, so let's go to that particular technique. Try that. Let me know how it works for you if you go that direction, okay? Another thing is people, sometimes I get some questions like, yeah, but I feel so angry that I'm angry. Have you ever had that where you're angered, but now you're angry because you're angry because you're working on yourself and you're trying not to be angry, but you get angry, so you get angry because you're angry. So if that is something that's happening where you feel upset or sort of disappointed that, gee, I'm working on this anger and it keeps coming up and now I'm even more peed off, you know, sort of thing. So Spirit wants you to know this about anger. Anger is the part of you that loves you the most. We're going to turn the glove totally inside out. What did I just say? Anger is a part of you that loves you the most. And I'll give you an example. If someone is abusing you verbally, and it's okay with you, you feel lethargic, you feel, oh, that wasn't very nice, you know. Or if somebody is pushing you around verbally, or if somebody is regarding you and disrespecting you, and you don't have any anger, that means you're taking it in. You're agreeing with what this perpetrator is doing to you. You're agreeing with the fact that I am not disagreeing, right? They're doing all these things and you think you deserve it. And that's where a lot of times you'll get a victim and a perpetrator. They have the perfect energy. One wants to inflict pain and disrespect, and the other person wants them to be disrespected and hurt. Because I've done something wrong, or that's their perception anyway, and I deserve to be punished. And someone is always in line to do that, to punish you, because that's what they do. So as long as it's okay with you, see, there's no anger. Anger comes up when the following happens. When you feel that you've been disrespected, you get angry. That's not fair. You get angry. So what does that mean? That means that's a part of you that loves you, that now you're speaking up because they've crossed the line and now you're upset. You're saying, I'm not taking this anymore. If they disrespect or if they give you pain or if they call, you know, your mother names and that angers you, well, that's a part of you that is loving you the most. So anger in that sense, in that example, means it's a good thing. So what a lot of people have been trained is you get angry, you got to curb that. You know, bring it down, don't get angry. And Spirit says, no, angry is the type of thing, it's more like rage. Like somebody spills a cupcake on the floor and then somebody goes ballistic and then takes a chair and throws it out the window. Okay, that's anger. That's something you got to start curbing. All right? So when you're looking at anger because of somebody has treated you a certain way, disrespectfully, that is a good thing because that's the part that's trying to protect you. See, does that make sense? If you're getting angry because someone's saying something, that's the part of you that you're feeling, it's unjustified, and you get upset. So that's okay. That's not a negative energy. You're sticking up for yourself and you're speaking out. And it's the anger that opens up your throat chakra and boom, things come out. And that's what you're looking for. It might actually tell you that, okay, I'm not feeling very safe in this environment. I'm going to have to look for new surroundings, or I got to look for a new friend, or I got to look for another group, or I got whatever it is, okay, that made you upset. But that is a good thing. It is not bad for a person of light to be upset or angered because you're understanding that this is not the way I want things to go. If there's no anger, that means you're taking it in. And now we have a new problem because now all that toxic energy is inside of you and it's not coming out. So we got to do something with that because too many years of that also breeds other things, okay? So we got to find a place that you are truly respected and appreciated. And that's really where all that goes. When people will sometimes tell me, you know, what is the ultimate way of releasing? I mean, you know, I've been working on myself for a few years, Tony. I meditate, I do yoga, I do qigong, I do all these things. Like, what is the goal here to release? Because it always seems like people are saying, oh, this is an onion. Another layer is coming off of releasing something, letting go of something. And there's more. And I says, okay, when does this end? Is this like forever? And Spirit says, no. There is an ultimate releasing pattern that once you get past that, you're free. And what that pattern is understanding. So we're going to go way out here. Those of you that are open for this, that's great. If you've heard this for the first time, just bear with what Spirit is about to tell you. To release yourself from this physical reality, because you start to realize that you're in a dream. You're in an illusion. All this physical stuff around you, because we have our five senses, it seems real, doesn't it? I can smell it, taste it, see it, feel it. It's hot, it's cold. And I can tap on a desk and it's solid to my understanding. So that's real. And Spirit says, no, that is the construct in which we are in. We are basically part of a construct or of a matrix, as what they're telling me. The soul itself, when the soul decides that you want to come down to earth, it doesn't take the entire soul and it comes down. That's not exactly what happens. What actually happens in its order in which things go is that the soul, your soul, non-physical energy, pure energy, starts to compartmentize. So a small piece of it, a small part of it, starts to lodge itself so that it can now go into a dream and come into this physical reality. So it'll come through a birth, it'll come through various things, but everything will be part of the five senses and it will seem real, but it's part of a dream. It doesn't exist. When you connect to Spirit, when you say, you're not actually connecting to a guide or a spirit or an angel. You're actually connecting to yourself first. From there, you connect to others. You connect to your higher self first. And people will say, well, if there's a higher self, then there must be a lower self. And I says, yes, there is. And that's where you are right now. This is the lower self in the sense that we are down here doing whatever that we're doing in energy, but all of it is an illusion. It seems real enough, but it is an illusion. So we come onto this and the soul is dreaming that they are not in a spirit, but we are in here. And here's the funny thing about all of this. When you go to sleep to dream, you're not actually dreaming. You're actually awakening and you're going back into your higher self. So in that way, you're coming out of the dream, but you think that you're dreaming. And I can show you an example. When you, let's say, have a concern in your mind where you're trying to figure something out, maybe something at work happened and you got to be more creative about something in your business or something going on with your kids. And you put it out there. You say, okay, I'm looking for a solution for XYZ, whatever it is. And let's say you have this in your mind as you're drifting off to sleep. You actually take that situation, go into full consciousness. So you're coming out of the dream that you're in. And now your higher self looks at it. Okay, we'll do this and that. So when you come back, you think that you're awakening, but you're coming back into the dream with a message. That's kind of what happens. So it feels like you're coming out of a dream, but in a sense, you're going back into the dream when you're coming back. Okay? So the real freedom here is to understand that what we are in, we have surrounding us a brick wall. We're in a brick room and we are in this dream. Okay? And we call this dream the physical reality. There are three ways that we can connect to our higher self. Some of them you already know. Of course, dreaming is one way. When we go to sleep, we connect directly to our higher self in that way. And this is why when people, and if you just look at the logic or spiritual logic, when some people are not spiritual whatsoever, everything is real to them, everything is very stressful, they hardly dream. Have you ever heard of somebody said, no, I never dream. I never have any pictures. I never see anything or feel anything. I just crash. And when I wake up, I'm awake. So I don't dream. A lot of those individuals, they won't do the dreaming because it's mostly going to be physical rest. They're in their dream state. It's that rest. The vast number of us that go into it and we start dreaming, we start seeing pictures and colors and the dream itself, we're coming into that more reality. So this is why when you go in as part of the dream. That's one way to connect. The second way is, of course, meditation. When we meditate in this reality, physical reality, we're sort of bringing ourselves out of this and connecting to that higher self. So that can be done on purpose. And just with practice, you can do it faster. But that also includes yoga. That also includes Qigong. That also includes many other things like Tai Chi. Anything that can connect your body and it's representational with your spirit will be very optimal. You'll be able to connect and get messages on a regular basis that way. The third way is, of course, the physical orgasm. That's the closest time that we can connect to spirit from a physical, our physical perspective, without the other two. All right? This explains why some people are so addicted to that particular act, because that's the only way that they can connect. Now, they don't know they're doing that. However, that's kind of what is happening to people that just are not spiritual whatsoever, and they just need that physical part to get what it's like to hit that highest climax. And that's where spirit is. That's where your higher self is, very, very, very high. So when we realize that all of this is a construct and it's not really us, this is why when people say, and you've heard this 100 times, I'm sure, believe it, see it in your mind, and it will come true. And so many of us have tried that and it doesn't work. And what spirit says, you're going to find out the reason why it's not working for most people is because they are so connected to this reality, they can't move into the next reality, because all of this reality is surrounded by energy. So we have to hit our higher self first, make an intention, it comes back, and then we send it out like a transmitter. Then everything sort of comes around to us. This is why that this reality is totally programmable. Anything, absolutely anything that is coming to you that you don't want is something that somehow you've put in there. And all we need to do, not all we need to do, but the practice is to get out of this dream, out of this reality sort of thing, connect to yourself and saying, this is what I want. And you send that out with love. And it's so powerful when that starts to change in front of you. That's how it works. So it's not just wanting something and you're connected to this earth. That's going to be a limited. That takes a long, long time because you're doing it through basically earth energies, and it takes a long, could take years. But something that you could just connect and you just expect that it's going to come in because you see it and you feel it, everything will seem to work out. Those that are going through some tough times, you wonder how, and you look backwards, how on earth did I make it through those years? How on earth did I, you know, you go through high school and then university and you have all these challenges along the way, but you always saw that, okay, I can get to this point, I can get to that point, because your belief was so high that you changed the way the energies were around you instead of attracting the things that you needed. You don't know you're doing that, but that's the way the mechanics work, okay? You send that energy out from your higher self. So when you bring that down, you send it, you could recreate anything. And it is that powerful. The way we hear it, though, is I just simply think it and feel it, it'll happen. And that's only part of the equation. The other part is to realize that, hey, this is a video game. This is a construct that I'm in, and I can change it if it's something that I don't want or something that I want to change that is more pleasing for me. So that's the ultimate goal, is to realize that you're in a brick room. And as soon as you realize that, what I want you to do in this meditation that's coming up is I want you to think of something that is limiting for you, something that you can only get to a certain point, and it doesn't seem that there's a lot of control of a lot of things. So it's outside of your control. So you're confined. So you're in some kind of a brick room. And I want you to envision that you go over to one part of the wall, and I want you to put your hands on the brick wall and just basically lightly push with love, and the bricks just fall over and there's an opening. Because most of the brick walls you put up there yourself as you were growing up, because none of these walls or rooms existed when you came into this physical reality. It was taught to you what to fear, what limitations you have, the things you can or cannot do, you were born on the wrong side of the river, or whatever the case is. Something was limiting. So you put up walls to protect yourself. Put up walls so you don't get ridiculed. Okay, I got to put up walls. You don't want to be found out that you can do something because you'll get ridiculed or you'll get bullied or you'll get something else was going to happen. So you put up various walls. And by the time we get to 25, 30, there was multiple layers of these brick walls, brick rooms. So one by one, we need to go through them. And one of the best ways is to just simply put your hands in your mind. You put your hands on the brick and you just push it. Now, in some cases, when you push it, it won't work. The wall's still there. And the only reason that that is like that, if that happens, if you try it in this instance, in this meditation, is that there's some fear that it is not going to be a good thing if the wall comes down. If this wall comes down, the reason it was put up because it loves you. You loved yourself. You want to protect yourself. So it has a layer of protection. If you're fearing that there's something on the other side, I mean, the last thing you want is to bring down the walls and there's lions on the other side. It's the walls that are protecting you. So if it's not working, then you start looking into yourself. What am I fearful of? It's usually fear. Almost always, always, always fear. What am I afraid of if these walls come down? And if nothing comes to you, just say to yourself, okay, now I'm through the other side of this wall. How do you feel? I feel uncomfortable. I feel like, okay, if this is supposed to be my business and it becomes an incredible success and I'm fearful, why am I fearful? And that's the kind of inner kind of monologue you're going to ask yourself to get through whatever it is that's holding yourself back, okay? So then you find out what that fear is and you say, well, that's silly. That was like 30 years old and I'm still holding on to it. No, that could definitely go. And as soon as you think that you've gone through it, because the tuning forks and the frequencies will help you get through some of this, then put your hands on the wall again and see if you could push, just a lightly push. It's almost like pushing over Lego because brick seems solid, so nobody will try to get through it. Don't bother punching through it. It won't work. You gently put it and give the wall love. If it still doesn't work, then there's something else going on. So keep working with that and see what happens when you start addressing the fear one at a time. Fear is basically existing itself as real. So it's not real. Fear isn't a real thing. It's something that is inside that you're thinking something will happen, something bad will happen to you, but it's only a fear. It's not something that would happen, but it's still there. So it's still real enough to keep you back, but is it real enough so that you say, no, that's just silly. That's not going to happen. And you're ready to move forward. And see if you could break through at least one room. Let's see how that goes. If you have time, try and get to the next room and see what is going on there. All right, try to envision whatever is confining you is where you're going to start. Okay? So take a deep breath of white light and feel what in your life is making you feel confined. Okay? And then just envision you're in a little brick room and let's try it and see what happens. Okay?
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You could also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.
Hey there. If you like this show, I want you to text someone right now that you think needs to hear this episode. If they are going through a tough time and they need some inspiration, let them know by sending them a link to this podcast. Let me know how it goes to see if it helped them. All the best.